Welcome to CS Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 145 of CS Radio. I'm J. Michael DeAngelis.
I'm Natty Leach.
And Natty.
Michael.
It's time to reach into the CS Radio grab bag.
Ooh, a goodie bag.
Once a month, we dive in, we root around, and we pull out some frequently asked questions. I like to think of it as my birthday present.
Oh, yeah, yes. Happy birthday. It was just a few days ago.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, let's dive in and see what we have here. Our first question, why can't I use my personal email address in Handshake?
Because now you can.
What?
A brand new thing to Handshake for students as of just a week or so ago. Students can now go into Handshake and in their profile designate their preferred email address. So it will be in addition to whatever is in the system. You have your pen email address in there. Handshake pulls from the pen directory for what is officially on file. But if you'd like to also have a Gmail listed, maybe you'd rather employers reach out to you and tell you you have an interview coming up, have that news shared with your personal Gmail account, you can now add that and set that as your preferred email address in your profile.
So we're very happy to be in a beta test for this new feature. So Penn students are among the first to be able to do this. So, Natty, can you walk them through what they have to do? And this is an additional email, right? So it sort of allows you to add in a personal email. Your Penn email will always be there.
Exactly. So I just logged into Handshake on my phone, which works great if you want to do it that way. If you click on the top right, there's a little photo of you if you've added a photo. If not, it might just have your first initial. But if you go there and hit settings under that menu and scroll down about halfway to the end of the page there, there's a section for emails where it will list your whatever your Penn primary email is currently as pulled from the Penn directory. However, there's also now a little link to add another email, and you can put in whatever you like.
That's right. So you might want to switch to a Gmail account. You may say, you know, I've got an SAS and a Wharton account, or a Wharton account and an engineering account, and I'd like to easily move from one to the other. So Handshake defaults, as we've said on this program before, Handshake defaults to whatever your primary email is in the Penn directory. So if you have an SAS and a Wharton account, and the SAS account is what's in the directory, that's what comes into Handshake. So if you don't want to go through and update your directory and then wait a week for the next sync to happen, you could go in today and add your at Wharton email as a second email, and that's where you're going to get your messages from employers and from us.
Yeah, and just like you said, it's so easy. You can always switch it later if you change your mind.
That's exactly right. So this is something that a lot of students have asked for. Why can't I change my email? It's something that we've been asking for, because obviously every time someone wants to change their email and Handshake, that's something that Natty and I have to do personally. So it adds an extra layer of work to our day. So we thank Handshake for finding a workaround to this. It seems like such a simple thing, but of course, when you're dealing with technology and the email sort of the linchpin of the whole Handshake system, it was not as easy as it might have seemed. So we're really grateful that they finally have done this, and we encourage everybody to go and put their preferred email in. If you are not somebody who constantly checks your Penn email account, or you would prefer to have it at a personal, or perhaps you already have a professional email account that you would prefer to receive your messages at, you can go in and do that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that is an exciting development. I'm really happy that that's happening.
Me too.
So should I dive back into this grab bag?
Yeah, reach in.
All right. I'm going to go right to the bottom.
Okay.
Pull this one out. Some nice Foley effects for my co-host.
That was real. It's a real bag.
Here we go. What is the fastest way to get seen in career services? Throw open the door and say, I'm here, world.
So the fastest way, or the most reliable way, would certainly be we have same-day appointments every single day that we make available in the morning of that day for later. Usually they're sometime between 11 a.m. and 3 or 4 p.m., so usually like later in the day. But we open those up often at about 9, somewhere between 9:15 and 9:30. So if you're logging in early in the morning, either right before you go into class or whatever, you can often check in there, look at the same day advising category when you're scheduling an appointment, and you'll see all of the different same day options that were that will be opened up just for that day. That includes appointments with our career services advisor, based on your school that you'd be meeting with. It also includes our peer career advisors who might have some additional availability in there.
That's great. And that those are mostly virtual?
For peer career advisors, you have an option. They're happy to meet virtual if that is more convenient for you, or you're welcome to come into the office and choose to be in person. For career advisors, for our full-time staff, those are only virtual or by phone, since sometimes we're working from home, so we want to make sure that we're still able to see you and mm-hmm. it doesn't get confusing if you show up and we're not physically in the office that day.
Great. And I know you can visit our website and get the same-day schedule because it's sometimes – there's always appointments available, but certain schools do them on different days. I know the grad student sort of switches up their availability every day. Others are on a more set schedule. So it's best to look and see on the website what that day's schedule is. The PCAs are available Monday through Friday all day long, though.
Yes, they have lots of availability. And that's just for same-day advising. We also, I hear a lot of times from people, I went in the system and there's nothing available ever.
Yeah.
That's because we hold some back so that it doesn't become a problem where people actually sign up for 3 months from now an appointment. So we're constantly opening up and adding new appointments at the beginning of each week. So a great time to look for a new appointment would be early Monday morning. Sometime again between like 9:15 and 9:30 would be a great time to look. But every now and then, you never know. I've had students who cancel for me the day before, and then someone else snatches it up right before the next day.
Yeah, I always advise people to keep, if you're really looking for an appointment, grab one of those same-day appointments. If you really want that 30-minute, then you have to kind of stay on it and keep checking because cancellations happen, and you might be able to just go in there and take that appointment that someone else has let go of. Otherwise, Monday morning, same thing, 9:15, 9:30, get in there and get something for the next week. I've been fielding a lot of questions from PhD students and master students who have been having a difficult time getting an appointment with that team. We're a little short-staffed in career services at the moment, particularly on the grad team because they don't have GAs. All right, it's just the advisors for that group, and we are down an advisor temporarily. Someone will be back and starting hopefully before the end of the fall semester, but definitely at the spring. So the number of appointments we're available each week has dropped a little bit. And so we just want everyone to just hang in there, be patient, check for those same-day appointments, check on Mondays for future availability. And it's the same thing on the undergrad side. We're down a couple undergrad advisors too, but luckily we have a team of graduate assistants who are also picking up the load. And they have some really flexible schedules. Some of them are taking early morning and later at night points. Isn't that right?
Yeah, our graduate assistants have kind of done whatever's best for them. I know Rob, the graduate assistant I work closely with, has put a lot of times, even in early morning, he was trialing out a few of those at 7 a.m. So if you're an early person and want to get an appointment in before you go to class, he might have some availability in there too. So lots of different flexible options there.
I am not a morning person.
Neither am I. But more power to you if you are.
Right. Natty would take that 3 a.m. appointment if it was open.
Yes, but not because I'm waking up at 3 a.m., but because I'm still awake.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, back to the grab bag.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Swirl it around. What's this I hear about a summer survey?
Summer survey? But it's not summer.
It's not summer. It even though it's been warm the last 2 days, summer has passed us by. Yeah, let me talk about this and basically, metaphorically, get down on my hands and knees and beg. Career Services every year sends out what we call the summer survey, and we ask all rising sophomores, juniors, and seniors to fill it out and let us know what they did over the summer. We send it out at the end of the summer, and then we send reminders throughout the fall semester. Did you have a job? Was it an internship? Was it a volunteer thing? Were you paid? Was it unpaid?
When did you find that job?
When did you find it? When did you start? How many hours did you work? Was it remote? Did you take classes? Did you do research? Right. We really want to find out what Penn students get up to in the summer, because it helps us then advise students who are trying to plan for this coming summer. It helps us be informed about what different industries' hiring timelines are. It helps us stay informed about what internships are paid and what they're being paid. Who's going with unpaid internships? Because we do our summer funding program, it's important for us to know how many unpaid opportunities are out there that we may need to fund. Unfortunately, right now, our return rate on this survey is really low. And we need this information to help you and to help your peers. So if you at all benefited from career services when you were looking for your summer opportunity, then I implore you to please fill out the survey. When you log into Handshake, if you are in that pool of people who would have been sent the survey, it will tell you you have a survey that needs
right
to
along
be taken,
the top.
Right along the top. We don't lock you out from Handshake if you don't fill it out, which is an option that some schools pursue.
Leaning
more and more towards. We just would really prefer that you out of the goodness of your heart, take a few minutes to fill this out. A lot of people filled out the paper survey when we did our career carnival, or some people have come by the office and filled it out while they're waiting for an appointment, which is great, but we still need hundreds, if not thousands, of more responses to really paint an accurate picture.
Think of it as your charitable act of the day.
Yeah. So that survey is going to be open through this week when you're hearing this podcast. So please take a moment and log into Handshake and fill out that survey. It really is incredibly important that you do so. And if you don't, you will make this podcaster very sad.
Me too. And honestly, I show students that information all the time. And almost every time, people are like, wow, I didn't know this was here. This is great. And you can see a lot about future planning. You learn through the perspective of your peers and what upperclassmen have done before you. And it's a good way not just to see what's available, but kind of explore different ideas that students might be tossing around for what they're doing. Question for you, Michael. What happened to last summer's survey?
We were unable to publish the results. Last summer obviously was, a major exception. Everyone was remote. It was a crazy summer. People's internships were disrupted and we hadn't come back to campus yet. So we understood it was going to be, probably difficult to get some responses. And unfortunately, in the end, the results were just too low. We couldn't publish a report. So we don't have that information this year. For the previous summer, but for summer of 2021, we would love to be able to report on that. We would love to be able to report on that as people start their search for this summer of 2022.
I keep going in there and seeing 2019 is the most recent one and thinking, I wish we had more
recent information we have. And again, I know that Handshake also sends out its own survey. I have gotten an email in my student account that says, tell us what you did this summer. And really, they're just asking you to put in your employment information. They want you to put it on your profile. It's good for you. It's good for employers. It's good for other students to network, blah, 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 blah. All of it's good. But we need more than that. We need to know specifically about the timing of the offers and the interviews. That's the thing that students ask us about the most. They feel like they've missed something. Are they missing out? Are they too late? And we're able to point to things and go, well, no, look at this. These offers weren't made until March.
Almost every time that a student, we have so many stressful appointments, and almost every time I pull up an industry and I go to that, when did they receive their offer? And there's this big old spike in the spring semester. I can just see people be less stressed the second they see that. So really, it is just so helpful to other people, to your peers, to feel better and more confident in what they're looking at doing as well.
So please take a moment right now. Pause the podcast. We'll be right here. We'll wait for you. Fill out that summer survey. And if you are a December grad, if you are getting ready to graduate this semester, we have also launched our graduation survey, our career plan survey. which asks the same sort of thing about what you're doing post-Penn. So do you have a job? Are you still seeking? Are you going to grad school? Are you going to do research? Are you going to volunteer? Are you going to take time off? All of these things. And then, again, the same sorts of questions about timing of interviews, timing of offers, timing of acceptance, all the things that are so critical to our work.
Yeah, take a look at the surveys for yourself. You might find some cool information. I mean, we use it for timing, like Michael said. We use it for kind of exploration. A lot of times people might ask, oh, what do people in my major look at doing?
Absolutely.
It's so clear to then just say, oh, here are PPE majors, and here's the wide array of different things they went into. Even through, I love there's an industry breakdown that we do that rather than looking at it by major or by school, we look at here are different industries that people either had internships over the summer or worked in right after graduation. And it's such a great way to kind of look at specific industries outside of the ones that are the loudest that you always hear about. So it's just so great. And it's a shame whenever we can't report on those things because we just didn't get enough responses for people, because we know that Penn students are doing all sorts of really cool things.
You can find that right on our homepage. There is an outcomes tab at the top of the screen. You mouse over it. It's broken out into summer and post-graduation outcomes. All reports are there, undergraduate and graduate. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but also, you know, hop over there yourself and check it out. All right, Natty, I think we have time for one more. I'm going into the bag. Are there any career fairs remaining this semester?
There are. In fact, there's one next week on Friday of next. Well, Friday,
of
November
this
19th, this week.
Wow. What fair is that?
That is the Virtual Government and Policy Fair. It's a great fair because we collaborate with other universities, so it has even bigger pull from employers, particularly because we partner with George Washington. So there's a big focus on government things that are focused in D.C. There's also NYU is a part of that, University of Delaware. I'm sorry if I'm forgetting any other schools, but we do partner with a few on that opportunity, and it's just a great way to see those things in a virtual setting. In the past, we used to have it wherever it was located. Often it was D.C.
Yeah.
We would bus students down there, which was kind of fun in its own way, but also added
love
that
a field
extra
trip.
Yeah, it was a nice field trip, but it was an extra barrier, right, of it's scary enough going to a fair. It can be even scarier thinking I have to get on a bus to go to a fair.
Go to a new town, yeah.
But so now that it's virtual, I think it opens up so many opportunities to go in and see. You can go in and register and browse the different employers that are there. Sorry, this is the Government and Nonprofit Career Fair. I said policy.
We do have one other career fair then that follows. It's a highly specialized one. But
yes,
on Friday, December the 3rd, our final career fair of 2021 is, of course, Nursing Career Day, just for our Penn nursing students. And that will also be held virtually in Handshake. But that's always a great event for our nursing students to connect with potential employers, undergrads, and grad students.
Yeah, those are the last two fairs of the season.
And we are busy planning away for 2022. We have a couple of big fairs planned. We're going to do our spring career fair. Again, these are all going to be virtual. For a variety of reasons, but including just a lack of space on campus at the moment.
Yep.
So a virtual spring fair, which is sort of our big catch-all generic fair, lots of different industries and employers will be represented. That we're going to have a STEM fair, and we will have our School of Design Career Connection Day for our graduate students over at Weitzman School of Design.
Yeah, and like the collaborative virtual government and nonprofit fair, there'll be a few other more niche fairs, like the All Ivy Environmental and Sustainability fair that's in the spring, that's in February. Also, there's the Zell Lurie Real Estate Career Fair. So some extra niche areas to explore too.
Our partners that put those fairs on, and we're really happy to be able to co-promote them. So a lot going on, a lot still happening right now, a lot of planning going on for 2022. Thanksgiving is upon us, and the end of the semester is approaching. So I think next week we're going to do a special Thanksgiving episode and talk about all the different things that you can do over Thanksgiving break, career-wise, as well as some tips about, you know, how to talk to your family about your career plans at the dinner table if it comes up.
Hey, what are you doing?
There's always that one uncle, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Why did you have to be a theater major?
Personal experience, Mike?
I don't want to say. but anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for submitting your questions to the grab bag. And we'll see you again next time on CS Radio.
This podcast is a presentation of University of Pennsylvania Career Services, Division of Penn University Life. It was created by J. Michael DeAngelis and A. Milan Kirshner and produced and hosted by J. Michael DeAngelis and Natty Leach. It is mixed and edited by Sadie Kyler. If you like this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @PennCareerServe. Thanks for listening.